Well, Merry Christmas. Are you starting to get in the Christmas spirit? Feel a little closer to it? Hearing some of the Christmas carols, singing together, seeing lights, talking about Jesus, seeing Christmas trees up and mangers out. As we look at what this week is about, as the reading said, we're talking about love this week. We're in a series through Christmas about good news, talking about the good news. And so as we talk about that, we're looking at that. And love is not just something that makes us feel good in our hearts. Love is something that empowers. It's a gift that empowers. And love is a catalyst that is found in the Christmas story, but it's also in our stories today. We have a memory verse that goes along with our sermon series. That memory verse is Isaiah 9:6. If you want to put that up on the screen, we're going to look at that together. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. These are the forecast, the advertisement for Jesus. Close to 600 years before he was born, this was written, talking about Jesus, the Messiah that would be coming. So we talk about love, the sermon outline, you can follow along with me. Love overcomes. We find that love is something that we share together, that makes us feel good. But love is deeper than that. Love is a power. It's a strength that comes from us, and it helps us to overcome. It helps us to overcome, and specifically, fear. Perfect love casts out fear, is what the scripture says in 1 John 4:18. When we love enough, we cease to be afraid. We are able to trust. We're able to lean on and depend. And so when we love enough, we are not afraid. And what we understand in our relationship with God, how that applies, is when we love him, we trust him for all things. There are times, if your life is like my life, that as we love God, we love him to a point, but then we still get worried about certain things. We were going around the circle at the lock-in on Friday night, Saturday morning, and we had different things that we were supposed to express. When it came to me, the thing that I struggle with, or have been struggling with recently, is worry. There's things that are going on in my life that I'm saying, well, God, do you really have this? Is this really something you've got handled? And I have to say, no, you know what? I do love you, and I know you love me, and because of that love, I trust you. Cast out fear. Fear is a powerful force in the world today. Many of our actions, like buying insurance or choosing a car with airbags, deal with the fears that we have, and so they motivate our choices. When we were kids, we may have been scared of the dark, or scared of monsters, and that would dictate whether we would pull the covers over our head or not when we got into bed at night. Am I alone with this? Okay, just check. Make sure you're with me. All right. Or for some of us, the fears may be less rational, like being afraid of a spider that's 1/4 the size of the end of your pinky and trying to climb a ladder to get away from it. Or having a little snake that would be the size of your pinky or less slithering across the road and lifting up your legs as you're driving over it and screaming like a little girl. No, I'm not admitting to that, or maybe I am. Sometimes fears are irrational, but sometimes fears are also legitimate. God designed us to have fear. Fear is a motivating factor. It gives us the adrenaline rush to be able to have strength and do extra things beyond our normal ability. Physical reactions, including sweating and a decreased heart rate. The fight or flight thing that goes on that enables us to be able to do things that we need to do at a crisis time. Fear can be a gift. There are reasonable fears, like when you're right on the edge of a 2,000-foot drop. Doesn't mean your knees are quaking. They may be. And you look down, that would be a normal fear to say, I need to be cautious. I need to not take another step forward and take that dive. Or maybe there's someone that has been in our lives, a more serious situation, that we have been victimized. And when we are around that person that has caused us to be a victim, we feel afraid. Some people fear a medical diagnosis or facing life after death or divorce. Fear can cripple us. Fear can keep us from becoming all that God intends us to be. If Joseph hadn't been courageous enough to say yes, we talked about this last week, to say yes when the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and say, "Don't be afraid to take Mary." If he hadn't been courageous enough, that fear would have prevented him from a blessing that God had enabled for him to be a part of the life of the Messiah. What if Mary had declined the offer and said, "God, I know you're going to give me the Messiah, but I'm going to face a lot of scorn. I might lose my life. I'm not sure I really want to go there with you." And yet the fear did not cripple her. She said, "Let it be done to me as you have said. I will embrace all that you have, Lord." Or if you look at the story of the wise men. The wise men, found in Matthew chapter 2, they go and they find out where Jesus is by talking to Herod. And Herod says, when you go to the child, come back and tell me, report to me so I can go worship him too. When all the time he was planning to kill the child. Well, the wise men were taken in. They understood that. They went and worshiped Jesus. And then in a dream, God told them, go home by a different route. And so they did. They were not crippled by fear, having to travel back through this country that King Herod reigned. They weren't obeying him, and they were obeying what God had said to them already. And the fear of man was not powerful enough. They were able to embrace what had happened, and Jesus was able to live on because of what God had done. Love overcomes. Love conquers fear. Love also motivates. And we see the love of Jesus in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways that I think about that is when Jesus was with the people. You know, Jesus was drawn to those that were hurting. He was drawn to those that needed him, or everybody needed him, but the people that recognized they needed him. There were the blind and the lame that came to him. There were people, even the Sanhedrin, people in Sanhedrin that were wise teachers that came to him at night, like Nicodemus, that wanted to know more information, that heard some of these things, but wanted to investigate, but wasn't really ready to make a full confession in daylight hours. He needed Jesus too, and Jesus responded to them. Love motivated him to respond to people. Several times, Mark chapter 1, you see that Jesus was filled with compassion, and he reached out and touched a man and made him well. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, these blind men, and they received sight. Jesus looked at the people that were in Israel and recognized that they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them, and the love that he had motivated him to make a difference in their lives. Love also sacrifices. And love motivated Jesus enough to make the sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us, and he called us friends. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." Love sacrifices. Jesus sacrificed. And we are told in Ephesians 1 to imitate that, to allow the love that's in our lives to motivate us and also sacrifice for others. We see the attitude that Jesus had was an attitude of humility. In Philippians chapter 2, we're told that he took the role of a servant. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. It wasn't something that was far off. He was God, and he knew that. And yet he still said, even though I'm God, I'm going to serve. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 that we should have that same attitude. We should be motivated to love. We should be motivated to serve and to change and to sacrifice. Love also saves and forgives. Because of Jesus' love, because of his birth at Christmas time, because of his life, his teaching, because of his death on the cross, we are able to have life. He saves us if we put our trust in him, as we love him and put our full dependence upon him. We see all these aspects of love in the Christmas story. We see all these factors in the Easter story as well. Love is seen. Love is felt. Joseph responded in love and acted courageously. We talked about how he was willing to embrace Mary. Joseph's love of God enabled him to address and face the challenges that he was a part of in his life because he loved God, because he was a righteous man. Mary lived out that love for God when she said, "Let it be to me, let it be done to me as you have said." She acted courageously. It's not like Mary was coming to there and she starts getting a little bit bigger. And people start saying, "Mary, have you been eating too many figs? You're getting a little bigger there." And then they start recognizing she's bigger because she is pregnant. And they know it's not that she's been eating too many figs. And so she tells them, "I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit." And she says, "You've not just been on too many figs, you've also been on too much wine. You're drunk if you think that's something from God." But she acted courageously and embraced God and didn't allow that to scar her. She allowed her love of God to lift her above so that she was not a victim. She was a victor. Since love is seen and felt as we live it out, we must live love out. We must live it out, and we have to live it out courageously. And folks, sometimes we encounter people that would try to victimize us. Do you know that you can't, no one can make you live with a victim mindset unless you allow them to? They can take advantage of you, but unless you allow that feeling to overwhelm you, you can rise above, you can forgive and be set free, you can love and be able to experience freedom in a new way. There are courageous stories of love that I'd like to share. There's two that I'd like to share with you. Irina Sandler. Irina Sandler was a lady living in World War II. There were a lot of people that made courageous, bold moves during World War II, trying to help the Jews and deliver people out. She was in Poland. And as she was in Poland, she was able to go into the ghetto of Poland, and she would take a picnic basket. And she would take a wheelbarrow, and she would take a lot of different things, and she smuggled out children under the nose of the guards because she was going in and out, and they'd seen her so often. She helped get 2,500 children out of the ghetto, approximately. 2,500 children out of the ghetto. She would have them sedated as they passed through so they wouldn't be too afraid, and she would get them out, and she was at risk every time she did that. She was eventually caught. They caught her, put her in a concentration camp, broke her legs, tortured her, mistreated her. But she was alive at the end of World War II. And when she got out after she was set free, she used her time to try to work to reunite the families of the children she had taken out because she couldn't get the parents out. She could only get the children out. But she worked her efforts to reunite these 2,500 children back with the parents. She loved. It motivated her. She sacrificed. And she worked to save. Love motivates us as well. Or how about Abby Johnson? Abby Johnson became well known because of her story. She was a person who came in and started working with Planned Parenthood, an abortion clinic. Abby Johnson came, and as she served, she loved what she was doing, trying to help women with their reproductive rights. She wanted to be able to help girls in their challenging, difficult situations. And she saw people that said they were Christians at the gate yelling out things like baby killer, not displaying the love of Christ. And she tried to work with them to recognize that this is not helpful to these women that are coming in there. She was the youngest person to be able to run, youngest young woman to be able to run her own clinic. And she saw it as an opportunity to be able to help women. And she, at times, was counseling with different ones and telling them, that at this stage, I know you're scared, I know you're in crisis, but all the studies show us that at this stage of the baby's life, the baby doesn't feel anything. Until one day, when in the back room, they needed some help. And they asked her if she would go back. She's been running a clinic for a while now. 2009, she was the employee of the year for Planned Parenthood. But this one day, she went back to the back room. They needed help. And she watched as an abortion was done. I believe it was a 13-week-old child. And so they had to have the ultrasound going to make sure they had things the way they ought to be. And when they did that, she saw on the ultrasound the baby writhing and twisting and trying to get away from the knife and trying to get away from the things that were happening in there. And it destroyed her. She said there were nearly 20,000 abortions that she had a party to in one way or another. Of the clinic that she ran, of the people that she counseled, she had a party that. She said, how do I erase that? And it motivated her, love motivated her to say, I can't do this any longer. Her livelihood of her family was motivated in this. So that's where she got her paycheck. That's where she got her retirement. That's where she got everything. That was her income. And she had to be courageous enough to face the fear and say, there's something more. I can't do this anymore. And she left her job. And she began to tell her story. She used love to motivate her not to fight, but to help. There was a movie called Unplanned that was done on this portion of her life. We've got a video clip that talks about that today. Let's play that.
Hi, my name is Abby Johnson. I used to be the director of this clinic. I quit because my conscience wouldn't let me stay. I just want to talk to you for a minute, please, just a minute. Please? I guess. It's always possible you're just here for a pregnancy test. But I'm guessing you've already seen the results of yours. Two of them. And you feel like your whole world is caving in around you. And you've never been so scared and alone. Yeah. Let me tell you what's going to happen if you go in that door. The first thing they're going to do is give you an ultrasound, but they're not going to let you see it.
Why not?
Because they don't want you to see your baby.
And then why do they do the ultrasound?
Because the ultrasound determines the size of the fetus. And the size of the fetus, the skull in particular, is what determines the price they're going to charge you.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I understand better than anyone that inside that building, they don't offer solutions. They only offer abortions. And if you go through that door, you will not come out the same person. Because you can't. And everybody wants to pretend like you can, but you can't. Because the truth is, you can let them get rid of your baby, but they can't get rid of the memory of your baby. And neither can you. No matter how hard you try.
I don't know what to do.
What's your name?
Anna,
it's gonna be okay, I promise, and I'll be there every step of the way. I'll do anything I can.
Love motivates to help. Love doesn't push down. Love doesn't accuse. Love lifts. Whether we're talking about Irina Sindler or we're talking about Abby Johnson, we're talking about Jesus giving and loving. We're talking about us. What will we do? How is love affecting your life? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says this: For Christ's love compels us. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Jesus died for us, and he died and took our place. Verse 15, and he died for all. Those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Love says, Christ's love compels us, that I'm going to love, I'm going to live my life of love, and not just love for me, not just live for me. I've died. The old David is gone. The old Paul is gone. Jesus is living in that person now. And because we live with Jesus in us, we are motivated, we are compelled to love and let Christ's love live out in us. So the question for us is this: what are you compelled to do out of love. What is God compelling you? You don't have an abortion clinic in your life. There's not a concentration camp, or there's not a ghetto where children are being killed because they are Jewish. But there are other things around. There are people in your life that need your love. What are you motivated to do? How does love motivate you? How does love move you to love God? How does your love inside move you to love people? We demonstrate ourselves, demonstrate our love in the way we live our lives out. Change a tire. Help at a soup kitchen. Mentor at a school. Do things to demonstrate that love for others. To demonstrate Christ in your life. We must choose to love always. We must choose to love everyone always. The ultimate act of love was gift-wrapped for us. Jesus came, was born in a manger. That was a gift. But the greater gift was when he humbled himself and loved us and took our penalty of payment on the cross. How do you choose to love? How is God empowering you to love this Christmas? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the love that you have given, the love that you have displayed. Lord, we ask that you would take us and the things that are in our lives and renew us. There are parts of us that are selfish. There are parts of us that want to live for us, and yet you are calling to transform us, to make us new. And I pray that you would help your love to live in us, and we would have our eyes opened and see the situations around us where people are broken and we can lift them. To see situations where people are hurting and we can give them a hug. To see where people are in need of hope and be able to speak to them and help them to know there's a future available for them. Oh, Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming at Christmas so you would die on a cross. Lord, I ask that you would help us to live under this compulsion. To live that we just have to love people because of who you are in us. We pray that you would live through us today and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand together as we sing?